Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series with expert discussions on topics related to power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity in the power industry. My name is Scott Williams from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. Partial discharge activity in gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines is a reliable indicator that a fault is developing in the insulation, and immediate action is needed to prevent a catastrophic failure. Since PD accelerates the aging and deterioration of insulation, the continuous online monitoring, trending, and diagnosis of PD activity play a critical role in assessing insulation condition and the risk of failure throughout the equipment's lifetime. Joining me to talk about PD monitoring on gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines is Kasper Steinecke. He is an Omicron PD expert and co-developer of Omicron's MPD PD testing technology, as well as Parademo 100, a new Omicron PD monitoring solution for gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines. Kasper was with me as a guest in Energy Talks episode number 72, where he talked about the essentials of partial discharge testing on electrical equipment. Hello, Kasper. Welcome back to Energy Talks.
Hey, Scott. It's good to be back.
Well, thank you for joining me again. Kasper, in a previous episode, which I just referenced to, we discussed the essentials of partial discharge testing. How does partial discharge monitoring also play a role in assessing insulation condition and electrical assets during their service life?
Yes, Scott, as we discussed last time around, many failure modes of electrical assets are caused by a failure of the insulating system. So intermittent testing is useful as it provides an early indicator of such a failure mode. Yet some assets do not lend themselves to intermittent testing because, for example, switching off is too costly, there might be accessibility issues and such. So highly critical assets, though, deserve special attention, as a failure would be very expensive. So monitoring, whether intermittent or permanent, is an important part of a strategy towards condition-based maintenance.
Very good. So how are gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines affected by partial discharge activity?
So GIS, GIL, gas-insulated switchgear, gas-insulated lines, like all high-voltage electrical energy assets, have an insulating system, and insulating systems can fail. In GIS, GIL, that insulating system is mostly a dielectric gas in a sealed environment that contains the conducting structures, and those are held in place by insulators. Internal insulators, spacers, those are made from typically organic dielectrics, and they can fail like all dielectrics can fail. So partial discharge offers an important early indicator of such an imminent failure.
Very good. So for our listeners who do not know the distinction, what is the difference between gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines?
GIS and GIL both conduct electricity, but GIS has moving parts. That's the short answer. So moving parts create more failure modes, and moving parts certainly increase the need for monitoring.
Kasper, does PD activity behave differently in this equipment than in other electrical assets?
Well, in general, PD is PD. However, there's a highly regular configuration in GIS, GIL that is a conductor suspended by spacers in dielectric gas, and that's surrounded by a shielding tube-like structure, and that affords us the luxury of having a limited number of comparatively well-defined types of PD that are closely associated with certain failure modes.
Okay. What causes PD activity in GIS and GIL?
Well, like in pretty much all assets, manufacturing defects, contamination, and wear and tear on moving parts.
Very good. Okay. So when does PD activity become a concern in GIS and GIL?
Well, any discharge that has the potential to inflict long-term damage or failure is obviously a concern. and any discharge source or intensity thereof that is capable of damaging parts of the insulating system is a concern. So, for example, discharges leading to damage on spacers. Now, spacers are made typically from epoxy. That's an organic insulator. And so when you have discharges, those carbonize the organic insulating system and eventually damage it to an extent that it fails.
Okay. In your opinion, why will partial discharge monitoring become even more essential for this type of equipment, GIS and GIL?
Well, GIS and GIL is relatively expensive compared to, let's say, traditional air-insulated open substations. Though GIS is, or GIL, highly reliable. So these are often used in space-constrained and highly critical applications. For example, like urban substations in basements or enclosed structures. They're used in industrial energy supply, often very critical industrial energy supply. And we're seeing significant growth in that. You know, the growth of megacities around the world on the one hand, and then you have data centers and you have high-tech industries like semiconductors that are extremely reliant on their energy supply, and where the cost of having gas insulated gear is not so much a concern. So we're seeing a significant growth in that.
I've heard that even in arid desert climates where the temperatures are quite high, that gas insulated switchgear is also preferred and in housing to protect it from the heat. Is that true?
Well, gas insulated switchgear is very resilient as far as environmental factors are concerned, because it is enclosed. It is sealed from the environment. So it protects well against ingress of dust, of humidity, or, you know, other like demanding environments. But, you know, what's also important, and I was going to mention that, is we have new dielectric gases that are being phased in. There's like a huge environmental concern around SF6, sulfur hexafluoride, and has tremendous global warming potential. And so for some time now, manufacturers have been phasing in new gases like G-Cube by GE, or there's Air Plus by ABB and 3M. And experience around these new gases has yet to be accumulated. So in the meantime, monitoring provides an additional safety layer and provides peace of mind.
Casper, what are the advantages of monitoring PD activity now in gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines?
Well, every piece of critical or important infrastructure counts, and PD monitoring in general provides an additional layer of safety and reliability. So while this is true for any asset, GIS and GIL are just, as I mentioned before, very common in critical applications, and that's in general an indication for monitoring.
Okay, so are there advantages to doing both PD testing and PD monitoring in GAS and GIL? And if so, when are they used together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this goes pretty much hand in hand. So in many cases, you know, like a portable PD instrument like our UHF 800 might be used for commissioning switchgear or for performing intermittent testing on equipment that's not yet under permanent surveillance. So if on those occasions problems are discovered, and problems that might not warrant immediate action, that, you know, create suspicion, and that might certainly warrant local, not necessarily permanent, possibly temporary monitoring, that's where this goes hand in hand. So let's say you do this test using an UHF 800, you find a problem, you connect a monitoring system first temporarily and then maybe permanently. And you start with one or two or three units, and then you do more.
So as with offline and online partial discharge testing, such as with the UHF 800 on both gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines, PD monitoring is also performed in the ultra-high frequency range. Why is this important, and what are the benefits?
Well, there's basically two reasons for using UHF. First of all, it's far removed from most typical external sources for interference. That is, you're operating in a very high frequency range. Most interference, especially the line-coupled interference that comes from afar, is present in the lower frequency bands. So this kind of insulates you from that. And then secondly, GIS and GIL provide a coaxial structure, almost ideal, that's well-suited to UHF propagation. So that's pretty much unlike most other assets. UHF can readily propagate through GIS-GIL configurations. For both of those reasons, UHF is the suggested frequency range for GIS-GIL, and that's why they also have built-in sensors. I mean, most newer GIS-GIL do have those built-in sensors. These are antennae that are used for picking up UHF signals from within this well-shielded cavity.
Omicron recently introduced a new PD monitoring solution for gas-insulated switchgear and gas-insulated lines called Paradigma 100. Casper, could you please describe this new solution and how it is used in assessing insulation condition and risk assessment?
Paradigma 100 is a compact IoT edge computing device for monitoring GIS and GIL. There's lots of fancy words in here, but what it means is it's a small device that is network connected and contains all the logic and database function for monitoring, record keeping, and notifying the operator. And it can be set up in minutes for monitoring individual locations. So if you have a location that you suspect of being problematic, you just hook up one of these devices and you're ready to go. If you wish to monitor larger installations, you set up multiple devices. Again, this can be done very quickly. And the whole solution around the Paradigm 100 is just extremely scalable. So it's, since everything is contained within these devices, that's what edge computing is about. Edge computing refers to the device's ability to make decisions, in this case, perform alerting functions. And then multiple such devices can monitor larger installations.
How exactly is Paradigma 100 integrated into GIS and GIL systems?
Well, yeah, it's what I just mentioned. It's kind of the next generation monitoring solution in that it is completely IoT, that's Internet of Things. So it's a small box that provides three connections, that is power, network, and sensor input. Network, in this case, is fiber optics. So you choose a location close to your GIS-GIL integrated sensor. Mm-hmm. You mount the box. You connect one cable to the sensor, one to power, and one to a local Ethernet connection, which uses standard Ethernet fiber optic infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And you're ready to go.
Okay. So you'd mentioned that this is a scalable solution. How many Paradigma 100 devices are recommended, or how many would you recommend to monitor a GIS or a GIL system effectively?
Well, that depends. You know, that's the answer here. In general, you have a certain number of built-in sensors, and you have distances between these sensors, and you would want to choose a sufficient number of these sensors so that all of your critical infrastructure is visible from these sensors. Then for each sensor, if you take one of these small boxes, you connect that box to that sensor, provide it with power, and hook it up to the network, and you're ready to go.
Okay, very good. So regardless of whether you have just one device or multiple devices, Paradigma 100 users can leave the system running continuously after a straightforward installation, which you just described. What happens when something suspicious is detected, for example? You can just leave it alone and rely on the system to do what it does to monitor tendencies in PD activity and growing PD activity and to tell you about it. Is that correct?
That is very much correct, yes. In most circumstances, there will be no significant PD activity. I mean, that's what monitoring is all about. It's all about leaving something in place that notifies you if and when something of concern happens. So with Parademo 100, it works like this. It acquires the signal at all times. It stores a history of what it sees. And all the time, it looks at PD patterns, it classifies these patterns, and it uses an alerting algorithm that corresponds to the newest CGRAE working group recommendations. We are part of that working group. And so we're looking not just into these individual sensors, but then these Parademo units will also talk to one another. So if we see a fault in the system, and we're seeing it from multiple sensors because it's happening in between those sensors, then that's also being integrated into the decision-making process. Parademo devices will then alert you via, for example, a Modbus TCP connection. So this goes to your SCADA system. You get an alarm, and then you can log onto the individual Parademo unit and look at exact data and figures and see what's happening there in real time.
Okay, so my next question relates exactly to that. How do users see the monitoring data in a way that is meaningful to them? So they get notified, it's recommended that they take a look at the data that's been recorded, that especially the data that triggered that alert. What do they see so that they know whether it's a problem or not?
Yes, exactly. So once you get a notification, or even without getting a notification, maybe just because you're interested, you log onto a specific Parademo 100 unit. And you can do that from any web-enabled device, that is a smartphone, tablet, PC. As long as you're in that same network, you can log onto the Parademo device and you can look at PD activity as it happens in real time. You can look at historical data, and you can look at historical alerts. You can look at what the system has been seeing for the last 2 years, minute by minute. You can zoom into that data at various levels, and you can then have the system do an analysis or look at the data and analyze that for yourself, because it is kept and present for you to look at and make sense of. If you can't do that, the system will.
Okay. And what are some of the ways that the system does that for you?
Well, as I said, we very closely follow CGRAE recommendations by not just performing extensive pattern classification. I mentioned this earlier. With GIS, GIL, we have a typical and limited number of failure modes. And that's real luxury. So these failure modes can be distinguished and they can be classified and integrated into automatic decision making. So that in conjunction with PD levels. And PD levels here closely correlate and refer to the so-called sensitivity check. The sensitivity check is something that's done for GIS, GIL at the factory, and this is typically data that comes from the manufacturer. If that has not been performed and you still would like to use a Parademo 100, we can certainly help you with doing this to some degree after the fact, but typically this is data that is provided by the manufacturer, especially with all newer substations.
Okay, so that data is actually used for a comparison with later measurements or later levels that have been trended. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's mostly about correlating certain P PD levels that are actually occurring within the GIS-GIL and correlating those with what we're seeing on the sensors.
Okay.
So determining a threshold level, that is level where things become critical in close proximity to the sensor. And so to have a certain level that you would see on that sensor for things to be critical. And this is supplied by the manufacturer. And this level then corresponds to a certain PD level that is specified by the relevant standards and is typically quite low. And then there is that, what I mentioned before, that one situation where, let's say, a fault occurs in between two sensors. And then obviously the threshold level is automatically lowered because both sensors will see a lower value. But since that's seen by both or even by three sensors, then it's still critical because we know it's actually higher, but it's in between those sensors. Again, that is all stipulated by the SIGRE documentation.
I ask this question a lot about the analysis of PD data in general. How much PD expertise do users need to be able to use Paradigma 100 for risk assessments?
With Paradigma 100, the user actually needs very little expertise. Mm-hmm. And that's clear from what I just said before. That is, we use a very well-defined alerting procedure here as stipulated by SIGRE. We classify these patterns automatically. We look at PD levels, and we look at multiple levels on adjacent sensors. So since all of this is done automatically, there is very little need, or actually no need at all, for user intervention. So these systems operate completely unattended. Only when there is PD, experts might be interested in looking at that. And we provide ample facilities for doing that. You can look at everything that's happening in real time. This also gives you additional insight, but that's pretty much reserved for people that are experts in that field. And again, that's absolutely not required for operating, using, and making productive use of these devices.
Okay, so who are the primary users of the Paradigma 100? And what do they require or expect from such a monitoring solution in general?
Most users are operators of GIS-GIL systems. And the typical expectation and requirement is a simple installation, simple operation, and most importantly, robust alerting. And in addition to that, some record keeping. We do all of that. So installation is really simple. As I said, our network sensor, that's it. And off you go. Then during installation, you might also want to inform the system about where it's located so that when you get a message from the system, you know where it's coming from. That's what we call identity. So you give the system, for example, the name of the sensor that it's looking at. And then we have the alerting algorithm that's looking at all PD data in real time and all the time, day and night, 365, 24/7. So it's just on all the time. And it takes measurements every single minute, and it keeps records of these measurements for you to look at. And every single device keeps a database of at least 2 years.
Okay. And if particular measurements cross a threshold, then that's when alerting.
Yes. It's a little more complex than just a threshold. It's a combination of certain patterns, that is, patterns that correspond to potentially dangerous types of partial discharge and levels. And all of that is specified in the SIGRE recommendations.
Okay, so there you're bringing in the pattern classification as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think you mentioned most of how Paradigma 100 meets user requirements and expectations. I think there's a growing trend, wouldn't you agree, that asset owners, operators are looking more towards long-term monitoring to track reliability and performance and to know in advance of any potential developing problems? What would lead somebody to want to put a monitoring system in their GIS or GIL?
Well, there's a few scenarios here. Number one is a trend that we're seeing all over, and this is also driving this whole IoT revolution. Mm-hmm. People want to have, utilities want to have a real-time view of their assets and how they're doing, how they're performing, looking at many parameters. We provide PD as an important parameter of reliability and potential degradation. There are very few such parameters, and so PD is extremely useful in that respect. And then another would be, and that's what I mentioned before, is once you have a specific concern, because you have done some, let's say, intermittent testing, and you found a problem, and you would like to keep this under close watch, then you use a Paradigma 100. You keep looking at that. You might not use a lot of those devices. You might use one, two, three, or handful. You look at a specific problem. You can set that up in minutes. So Paradigma 100 does not require a comprehensive overall installation. You can actually use these devices for post or during commissioning operations. That is, when you commission a substation, you might connect a number of Paradigma units temporarily during this whole commissioning operations, leave them in for like maybe a few months, see what's happening. And that is also highly useful.
So, okay. So just to clarify, Casper, there are permanent monitoring systems that once you install them, they stay in that exact same position forever. But with Paradigma, are you saying that you can actually move these units around to different parts of your GIS and GIL to take a look at different areas?
Absolutely, you can. And see, with Paradigma 100, the difference between, let's say, intermittent testing and monitoring becomes a little softer. That is, there are a lot of scenarios in the real world where you don't want to install a major monitoring system, which, you know, is really part of your overall construction almost. Mm-hmm. And with Paradigma, you can literally place these boxes next to your sensors temporarily, hook up a few cables, have these cables lying around for a while until you're certain that your installation, that is your substation, your GIS, GIL system, performs as desired, and then you can take them off. So it's perfectly well suited for doing that kind of operation as well. Okay. And that was really important to us.
Very good. So I want to go back to a question I had asked, and I don't remember whether we came to a conclusion or not. When the system tells the user or gives the user an alert, what's the next step for the user?
Well, if you're getting an alert, you definitely want to look into that. So the next step would logically be to log onto that system, see what's going on, so you can see these systems operate in real time. They're like a measuring device. So you can log onto the system, and when you do, you get a real-time view that is several times, several frames per second. It looks like a wonderful PD oscilloscope, and you can see what's going on in real time. So for anyone that's somewhat versed in PD, they can see and tell what's happening. And you can do that from whatever location you're at, because this is all on the internet. You can ask an expert that's possibly located halfway around the world to look at that again in real time. That's totally doable. So once you have determined that this is something that's actionable, then of course you'd want to take action. That is, you know, potentially switch this off, have it inspected, and then use that same monitoring technology again to verify that whatever was done correctly and has fixed the problem.
Very good. So you mentioned the internet compatibility and being able to access the data. So we're really talking about a web interface to access the data at any time from anywhere. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct, yes. And so we wanted a device that, you know, because of the kind of use cases that I described here, like, you know, temporarily placing them somewhere, permanently placing them somewhere. If you place them temporarily, you could use, let's say, a router for mobile data, connect that to a small number of devices. So it wouldn't intrude on your other infrastructure. It would be completely separate from that. You'd only be looking at these sensors in real time, and you would get valuable monitoring data from those sensors.
Okay. Again,
corresponding to, you know, all the relevant standards.
Very good. Okay. Well, Casper, thank you very much. I want to know before we go where our listeners can get more information about partial discharge monitoring on GIS and GIL, and also Paradigma 100.
You can always consult our website. You can ask your Omicron representative, or you can even attend one of our courses and trainings, or talk to us during a large number of trade shows where we're present.
Okay. Casper, thank you very much for joining me to discuss the importance of partial discharge monitoring on GIS and GIL in this episode of Energy Talks.
Pleasure as always. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Casper. And a big thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of Energy Talks. We always welcome your questions and feedback. Simply send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity in the power industry, and offers you the matching solution for your application. For more information, be sure to visit our website at omicronenergy.com. Please join us to listen to the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.